Australian rules football is the greatest game on earth, but it's not to say it couldn't be better. If only there were two people completely unqualified to talk about it, yet utterly prepared to do so. Two people like that might have some radical ideas. Two people like that might just be the Footy Fixers.
Hello, I'm Charlie Clawson and he is Scott Dooley and we are here to fix football whether you like it or not. And our first topic is probably more peripherally related to football more than a football issue, but it's something that I know has been bothering you for a long time, Scott Dooley. What is it?
Calling the grand final the big dance. I don't know how this started. I don't know how it's everywhere. And I don't know how people are managing to continue to say it. And the tenuous links, like if he kicks this goal, he's booked a ticket to the big dance. Like the questions that then beg, like so he's going to watch? Why would he need a ticket if he's going to dance in the dance? What's the dance? How does dance come into this in any way, shape or form? It is one of the worst, least analogous. I don't understand how this has started up.
Now, look, I don't have nearly the amount of issues that you have with the big dance. Let me ask you. So, when commentators are reaching into their bag of tricks and they say, for instance, Cyril Rioli dances around his opponents, do you throw your beer at the TV in that instance? Because he's not literally dancing around his opponents, is he? It's just fancy footwork. He's selling some candy, you might say.
I might say that. But it at least resembles a dance. Nothing about the grand final resembles a dance. You know what I mean? Like nothing about like the path to get there.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm going more Hollywood with it. I'm thinking more like Step Up, more Dirty Dancing, where the climax of the film is a moment where everyone does a big dance.
So that's all it is. I'm happy to accept this and take this on.
If Max Gorn grabbed Christian Petrarca by the hips and hoisted him above his head in a lake, like in preparation for the grand final.
Now that I would accept. Like that's that. Now I'd be like, okay, we can call it the big dance because there's some dance elements being involved here. Like, so that's what. I'll accept it if we do make it more dance-like. Like if we rename the Norm Smith Medal like the Fred Astaire Award. Like, you know what I mean? let's think outside or have some dance elements. Like, ladies and gentlemen, at the punt road end, the goal umpire is Todd McKenney. And then everyone kind of, hey, it's Todd
I
McKenney.
Love that. If the Norm Smith becomes a Fred Astaire in the AFL W, does it become the Ginger Rogers? And it's kind of harder to win one in the AFLW because you've got to do everything backwards and in heels.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. So if it is going to be... if we are going to... Well, actually, now, speaking of that, maybe one of your players, maybe the opposition can choose one opponent who has to wear tap shoes. So...
Yeah.
So, you know, Dusty's slipping around. Well, that's because he's got his rhythm taps on. He should have gone with Urban or something. Yeah. You know, Dimmer's not going to be happy. Things like that, like make it more dance. Like maybe get rid of, instead of it, if it's going to be the big dance is the grand final, then let's do this. Like Step Up's a good example. Maybe the elimination finals, regionals, and then, you know, the prelim we went to state or, I don't know. I just want to see more.
More
could
dance movie
dancing with
dance movie elements introduced. I get it. So you're a Pies supporter. Who do you think, if like one player had to be handed the tap shoes in your team, who would it be?
Jamie Billy Elliott. Who else?
Oh my God, of course, there's no other choice.
There's no other choice. I reckon that's the only reason they've kept him on the list. In case instead of the grand final sprint, it turns into the grand final dance off. Does Billy get the tap shoes? We'd have to get him out of surgery because he's injured from about round 10 every year. But once he comes out of Monash Hospital, get him in.
I would see like, I can see Scott Pendlebury doing he's got fancy feet. Like he's, but he's sort of more your languid kind of like, I'd see him doing more kind of like that. What's that sort of isolation break dancing kind of thing where they sort of like, is it called?
Oh, popping and locking.
Popping and locking.
Scott Pendlebury. Well, do you know what? And I think commentators are having fun. So Poppin and Lockin was an African-American sport. You know, Scott Pendlebury was a very good basketballer as a junior.
I hadn't heard that.
You know, that's a nice segue. Yeah. Yeah, it's really interesting.
Funny you should
the
say.
Only guy.
Funny you should say that, Scott, because I almost called you Will. Funny you should say that, Scott, because I have done a little bit of research on the origins of the big dance. And apparently the phrase of big dance is another term for the NCAA Division I basketball tournament. So every year, 64 teams of Division I basketball qualify for the big dance. It comes from Marquette basketball coach Al McGuire, another Collingwood link there, who explained to a reporter in 1977, you got to wear the blue blazer when you go to the big dance. Marquette won the championship that year, so everyone started calling the tournament the big dance.
So what's that got to do with football?
Well,
again,
I think
this is further illustrating my point.
I think it's just more when BT entered the commentary box and BT and JB, I'm throwing it on those two guys. They started bringing a bit more of that American style commentary where it's a bit more colloquial, a lot more slogans. And even Dwayne Russell loves to do that a little bit as well.
Oh, from the paint.
Yeah. Dwayne Russell. Like, I know this is, look, we'll just pause with the big dance a bit. Let's talk about Dwayne Russell. Is there a guy
I have thoughts, bro.
Like Dwayne Russell can talk about hyperbole. Like he can take the most the most simple act on the football field and make it sound like this is revolutionary, like a handball that'll make you weep.
Yeah. I've seen him try to call for someone kicking in as mark of the year. Like he does it. And this is my theory. All right. And this is, we might be going into broadcaster's code here. My theory is that he goes so hyperbolic so that he can be the voice on the highlights.
Oh, 100%.
And the amount of times he says, that's mark of the year. It's like, it was a chest mark in the back line, bro. What are you talking about? Oh, that's it. Put that down. Like, yeah, every single time. Like, it drives me insane.
Well, yeah. So, anecdotally, I would say around the early 2000s is when it felt like the big dance started. And that was around the era of BT and JB and sticking out the Dukes and selling some candy and all that kind of stuff. So, tell me your thoughts.
Foot candy.
On all those, those little verbal flourishes, are you against those as well? Are you just like a real missionary position, meat and potatoes kind of guy where you like your football footbally and that's it? None of this kind of fancy American shit.
No, I do. Yeah, I do. I will bend that rule for Captain Carlton in the hovercraft. I think that a bit of razzle dazzle there, that works. But yeah, no, I don't want any of that. I want Slug Jordan. I want big gaping parts of the commentary where no one's saying anything. Like just absolute quiet. And then the only thing you hear is the commentator complaining about a umpiring decision. Oh, yeah. That was high. And then nothing. Then just back to silence. Like it should have maybe give me a score every now and then.
It does feel a little bit like we have been subjected to the Mandela effect, because the whole reason this topic came up and why we chose it to be the first episode of Footy Fixes is that you online on Twitter opined about how much you hated the big dance. I just took that as the perfect opportunity to constantly, every time I found someone, a commentator or footballer mentioning the big dance, I would just tag you into that tweet. But really made me aware that, it's just become part of the vernacular now. And I feel like the Mandela effect, I had to sort of go back and go, hasn't it always been the big dance? And it's like, no, there was definitely a period in which we got danced.
No, yeah, we got danced on. And but I'm trying to think of other ones. Like, I remember Eddie McGuire was really unabashed about trying to make the new stat hardball gets. Remember like when he was on the Footy Show? And I was trying to think of these other things that have kind of come, like rebound 50s and like that's new. That we never had rebound 50s growing up. I know I sound like there's someone just throwing their TikTok into the sea when they hear that, like an old man. Is that how it works? And big dance. It's just so American.
Well, but there is
also Australian men don't dance. This is the other thing that's being forgotten.
Yeah.
The last person that you would ask, like if there was a, hey, I've got a gun to your head, you have to choose someone and listen, I get it, it's problematic, but I've got a gun to your head, what are you going to do? I'm not a nice guy. You have to choose one male from one race to dance for your life. And if he can't make me and my cohorts here weep through his majesty of dance, I'm going to shoot you in the head. Do you go, oh, well, where's the Aussie? No, give me the boat. But what about that? Hey, mate, you with the rose between your teeth. Where are you from? You're going in.
Yeah. Look, if the competition, if you need a guy standing on the edge of the dance floor, holding a beer, nodding my head out of time to the music, then Australia, yeah, we got you covered.
Yeah. With your body shaped like a question mark because you put your pelvis out, like just doing a bit of that work.
But there is more of that kind of NBA razzle-dazzle coming in to the AFL. Like, especially, you know, the AFL seemed hell-bent for a while in the preseason coming up with some kind of summer competition like the AFLX and stuff. And that's when it got like, that was when it was real, I can't believe it's not the NBA, when you got like, you know, Alex Rance arriving at the football on a skateboard in his like Hugo Boss suit.
He's on a hoverboard with the leopard skin fez on. Like, give me a break, Rancey.
Captain Carlton's there going, he's taking my bit. That's my thing. But the players seem to love it. Like, you've got to remember, Scott, we are now old. Like, we are now moving into grumpy old men territory. Me, you, and Bob Davis are going to have a panel show real soon. But for the guys playing football who grew up in the 2000s, like, they were junior footballers in the 2000s when it was all NBA and, you know, big dance and selling candy and stuff. So I think they like
it. Doesn't that
they,
just to kind of take... Doesn't it make you feel old when footballers talk about who their favorite footballer was growing up? And it's like Dane Swan. You're like, bro,
what are you talking about?
Guy's in his 30s. What are you talking about? He's got a neck tattoo. You got to talk about Carey. That's it. Carey and Ablett. That's the only two. It's like The Shawshank Redemption being your favorite film. I don't care how old you are. If you play football, that's your favorite movie. That's it.
Well, it's like when you used to actually buy like the footy record and you go to the player profiles and you'd look at the date of birth and it was always like, yes, like, you know, I'm still younger than the oldest player in the AFL.
Yeah,
and then once you get past that and now I'm in like, now I could be the father of like, you know, it's draft night when we're recording this and I could easily be the father of any of those kids getting selected. I'm not. I just want to put that on the record. unless Aaron Horn Francis, he seems like a real gun. I'll claim that. I did McLeod's daughters in Adelaide for a while. Who knows? I was single back then.
Wait, are you saying that there is a chance that you're Aaron Horn Francis' father?
All I'm saying is it's not impossible. Not impossible. I'm not claiming one way or the other.
Have you seen him kick? Because that would say it is very much impossible that you're his father.
He's not a dour left footer halfback flanker.
Yeah, with the cotton cecum on, he's getting around in the skin tight. What do you look? They look like Tour de France winners now. It's awesome.
Now let's get back to on topic. It's the big dance, and this is footy fixes, Scott. So we need to decide by the end of this episode whether this is something that needs to be fixed. I am not convinced.
You're pro.
Yet. I'm pro big dance. Like I said, it was the Mandela effect.
Why?
Well, I just kind of like it as a colloquialism. I sort of see the big dance, you know, the metaphor. I like it. I just think of Dirty Dancing. I think that, you know, there's all the teams or Grease or any of those musicals where there's a dance number and people get knocked out and it's just down to like the final two people or the final two contestants. I think it makes sense. And I also think that Melbourne, well, last 2 years aside, but grand final week is like a carnival. It is like a festival. It feels fun when you're in Melbourne and you see all the colours everywhere. It does feel like you are going to a big party. And I'm sure there is some dancing at some point. Maybe it's not like in the 2 hours the game's played, but certainly after the game. Like if Jack Revolt proved anything, it's, you know, players are willing to hit the stage.
Simply saying people will dance somewhere within 24 hours of this event means anything could feasibly call,
no,
be called the Big Dance.
No, that was one element of what I was saying. It is a celebration. It is the culmination of a big year, and it has that kind of celebratory feel. Even though it is like, you know, a contact sport competition, it does feel like a dance. Like, I mean, isn't that how they describe boxing as well? Is like you're dancing, you know, they're dancing around each other. You're dancing with your opponent. To me, it's not like a complete left of center simile.
See, for me, it makes no sense because there are no big dance. Like the big, a big dance is like a...
like Earth Core.
Robbie Gray, if he kicks this, he was going to book him a ticket to the big bush doof, and I'll give you big dance.
Rainbow
better than
serpent.
That.
I mean, Ben Brown, I could totally see like barefoot tripping on mushrooms at Rainbow Serpent.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Jeez. Well, look. So I am pro big dance. Well, here's what I'll say: is I'm not anti big dance. If for some reason Gil McLaughlin came out tomorrow and they banned it, they outlawed it, like it became hate speech or something like that, I would think it was a little extreme, but I wouldn't lose too much sleep over it. But I think what I enjoy more is just how much it annoys you. But I think the real victims here, Scott, are Big Dance Proprietary Limited. Did you know that Big Dance Proprietary Limited, they are an acclaimed choreographer group that creates work that can be learnt by anyone in the world through online tutorials and community workshops? They are an Australian company called The Big Dance. And so do you think every year they are just like, God damn it, not only have we been snubbed because we haven't been asked to choreograph the entertainment in the AFL, but we're getting all these phone calls from people who think we've got something to do with the AFL.
The AFL as a community organisation owes them a debt. And I say that they should choreograph. Like, let's get dancing into halftime. Like, I don't know, do we get the Oz kids to come? Actually, that could be an idea. What if we do each week, like Dancing with the Stars, at halftime, the Auskick kids, ladies and gentlemen, it's the cha-cha. You know, North Baldwin is going to be wearing the North Melbourne jersey, and from St Kilda East, it's wearing the cup.
Yeah.
And then they kind of go through each game, and it's a bit of a celebration leading up to the big dance, which is freestyle, where it's like... I don't know. I feel if we are going to be burdened with this, it has to make some sort of, there has to be some sort of continuity to it. Otherwise, and listen, this is the thing. Every time we talk about the grand final, what's the number one thing we say? Hey, you know what they do overseas? How do you reckon we look compared to the NFL? How do you think we look internationally? Referring to this thing as the big dance, which we nicked from college sport anyway.
I've got it, Dools. Okay. So the big dance. You're saying it's too American, so we need to Australianize it. What is the number one Australian dance movie of all time? Strictly Ballroom. What is the story of Strictly Ballroom? An uncoordinated, ugly duckling gets trained by a professional ballroom dancer to take on the competition. So everyone loves that. It's the underdog story. It's Rocky. Footy fans can get that. It's a sports analogy. So here's what we do. On your list, you get whatever it is, like 47 players or something, and you get to rookie list three players. So you've got three guys that you've pulled in from, like, you know, the amateur leagues or whatever. They didn't get taken in the trade period or the draft. They are dancing for their football careers. So over the course of a season, not only are those guys playing in the twos, but they're also taking dance lessons. And every round, we have a knockout competition where those guys have to dance off against each other. By the time we get to the grand final, those two rookie listed players, so this year it would have been.
And you've got to pick them. You've got to play them, though. Like,
you've
got to
play
them.
And you've got to dance. Like, so it's twice as hard. So they're training every week, but they're also doing dance lessons, Dancing with the Stars style after the game. And then the two teams that make the grand final, they're rookie listed players, whoever wins the dance off, it gets a spot on the senior list.
So you don't have, because I was going to say you have to play them. So it's
both.
Like,
but I'm saying, there's that insecurity of, you can be a rookie listed player and play, you know, every round, but you're still on the rookie list. You want to get elevated to the senior list. So I'm saying.
And you can have some funny, I can hear some funny things like, you know, has he got a left foot? Is he even worse? He's got two.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that kind of funny stuff, you know. And you can maybe, and also I think this would talk to, talk to the often overlooked by AFL marketers, the dance community. Oh, so often, you know, we often talk about, you know, we want to reach out to kids and we want, you know, a more diverse crowd. But what about the dancers? And this would probably get them in. Would you have them dancing pre-match?
I think halftime. I think instead of the Oz kick, sorry, kids. Sorry, kids, were brought in a new element this season. It's dancers.
Here he is.
And I think that the beauty of this as well is it's the kind of, it's the Armageddon, you know, giant asteroid dilemma. It's like, is it easier to train a bunch of oil drillers how to be astronauts or to train a bunch of astronauts how to drill into an asteroid? Is it easier to train a dancer to play Aussie rules? Because you can look at it two ways, right? You're like, well, we want to win. You know, we want this kid to be on a senior list. Let's pick the best dancer out of these potential footballers. Or do you get the best footballer and hope that you can train him how to be the best dancer by the end of the year?
So this is where what I think the wrinkle is because then you're just going to get a guy. I think the league has to, as a kind of a hands across the water exercise, reach out to the big dance, the company that you just described. I don't know. I mean, the AFL is a pretty powerful place. I'm sure they can figure out something with the federal government that they can legally conscript people to play football professionally.
You say conscript, you're saying they have no choice.
They've got no choice, but it is a lot like the army where it's like, we'll feed you and you're interested in economics, we can get you into a commerce degree. I don't know. But then this would stop tampering because of what I'm worried is you're going to get this kind of Port Adelaide coming into the league, Adelaide Crows style, hiding really good dancers in some country leagues.
They're just going to BNS balls all around outback South Australia. And then I look at this guy. And he really knows the nutbush.
No, look at him. Yeah. They reckon he's on St Kilda's rookie list next year.
I love it.
I feel like that's a solution. And that's something I think we could all agree on. Because at the moment, it's a man without a country, the big dance. But now I'm seeing it. Oh, why is it called the big dance? Oh, you see number 23.
Yeah.
He'd never
He's got a chance to get the senior list. He's playing for a chance in the senior list. All right, that's good. I think that is a footy problem that has been fixed conclusively. We employed the Big Dance Proprietary Limited to come in and work on the choreography. We opened three rookie spots on the list for dancers with a senior spot on offer, and we replaced the Oz kick with dancing at halftime. And then, Scott, would you finally accept that the grand final is literally the Big Dance?
Yeah, I will, and I will say that is officially fixed.
All right, let's go. We threw this question out to you, the listeners. And if you want to send us a message, you can go to 2guys1cup AFL. We'll be putting out our topics each week and asking for your feedback. This is what some people have had to thought. Now, with the Twitter, when you're reading out tweets, do you read like the at name or the name that they've kind of like put before the at? I never know which one is the more accurate one.
Well, it depends because you can have like you can be at Charlie Clawson, but then your name is like John Stamos Stan account or something, and it doesn't make sense. So I think you go for the most humanistic one, we big dance style can script them a new name.
Yeah, we could do that. All right. Well, I'm not going to do that because that means I'd have to think of stuff on the spot. But let's start with Jeff, who says, someone complained when I used the term big dance and they said it was too American. So what should we call it? How about the big BNS ball? I don't mind that.
I mean, it does, but I mean, I actually replied to that with the grand final. Call it the grand final. That was my response that I wrote to that guy on Twitter. So thank you, Jeff.
Kevin says, the one thing it really has going for it, the big dance, is the extent to which it annoys duels. Otherwise, I'm ambivalent. And I agree. I do love how much it pisses you off. April says, I'm ambivalent about the phrase. I don't hate it, but I don't think it really reflects Australian rules football. We need something better. Well, I think what we've given you is something better. If we If Muhammad won't go to the mountain, we'll bring the mountain to Muhammad.
Yeah. No, I'd like to hear her thoughts post this podcast.
Cindy says, it does my head in when commentators call it the big dance. We're not watching NBA or the NCAA, but then again, so many footballers have a basketball background. Jason says,
Here's one. Are there more footballers who have a basketball background or more footballers that are competitive beasts?
Oh, that would be a line ball decision.
Isn't it?
Is it competitive beasts or contested ball beasts? Or what about their tank? How many players need to develop a bigger tank? I feel like we could do an entire season just on AFL colloquialisms. In fact, we might.
I think we can.
Jason says, so he's got a bit of history on it. So essentially, BT introduced it into the commentary. I think you'd only have to go back as far as the Network 10 coverage to see it really didn't take a hold till after the early 2000s, thanks to BT and James Brayshaw. I can't recall Dennis or Bruce ever using it. Yeah, it would sound wrong coming out of like Bruce McAvaney's mouth, wouldn't it?
No, I couldn't hear that. No. I could hear him making some very curious racing analogy instead of making it a dance. You know, it's and they're going the to final the Grand furlong. National, something like that. Yeah.
St. Julio says, "Big dance makes me think of peak St. Kilda era Spider Everett chasing pigs naked. I love every second of it. I have no idea what that's referring to,
tenuous link.
But I could imagine Spider Everett chasing a pig naked." Impala Laguda says, the big dance sounds like a great name for a fun Mardi Gras float or a bad name for a train wreck of a celebrity showcase TV show. Either way, I love it. Is it a bit too on the nose for a Mardi Gras float? I mean, essentially, that's all that's happening at Mardi Gras is a lot of dancing. So if you say this float's the big dance, it's like, well, yeah, we get it. It's Mardi Gras, mate.
I kind of see the crossover, though, between the dance show and the float. You know when companies just try to shoehorn themselves into social issues? You could see, using it as a promotional tool for the big dance TV show. And it's like, con the fruiterer, you know, to be someone really kind of on the nose. You know, just really missing the point, waving. And then, you know, next to Clover Moore and, hey, a couple of days, Clover, you know, I don't know, that's up to them. That's on the Mardi Gras committee. But I could see both of those things happening at once.
MT Hammer says, I love it when my team is in it. I hate it at all other times, which is a fairly common response from people.
This is the annoying thing.
You've seen Collingwood in a few big dances in the last decade. So 2010 was an enjoyable big dance. 2011, not a great big dance. 2018, a heartbreaking. Your date left with someone else after leading you on all night, pretty much, right in the last 90 seconds, left with someone else.
You've actually uncovered a bit of a flaw of the big dance as parlance. Pluralizing it. Is it Bigs Dance or Big Dances?
Big Dances. It's Big Dance. So Collingwood have played several big dances. Dances. You pluralize dances. That's what it is.
Several Bigs Dance.
Here's the
one. Because was only one dance happening, you'd imagine, at the event.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. No. It's Big Dance. I don't know. You caught me on a technicality.
Hey, speaking of dancing, we've never talked about...
Yeah, go on.
We've never talked about this. We have a long family history of dancing with your uncle dancing, like your great uncle danced with my grandmother, whose birthday it is today. Do you remember this
story?
That's
right. Yeah, remind me.
When I had said, I'm doing this thing with Charlie Clawson, and my grandmother said, oh, he's no relation to this Clawson. And I said, I'd be very surprised. And then she kind of described where he lived and then told this story about how when she was first seeing my grandfather, he came in and cut in and tried to dance. And nearly, like, I think my grandfather and your great uncle kind of had a punch up. over a woman. And I described it to you and I said, oh, yeah, it was in Brighton. And you're like, yeah, that's totally him. He was such a rat bag.
Well, I mean, it sounds like there's a reason why you have such an aversion to big dancers, Scott. This is why.
True. It's something in your subconscious. I think this is like, I feel like you're Dr. Melfi. I've had a breakthrough.
Well, I think we've conclusively decided that the big dance can stay as long as more dance is introduced into the AFL. We are the Footy Fixers. We'll be here next week. Follow us on Two Guys, One Cup AFL. Look out for our topics. They'll be at the start of each week. We'll be putting our questions out. But for now, I'm Charlie Clawson.
I'm Scott Dooley. See you later.
Great. Strong close.